That turned off. There we go.
Are we on here?
Good.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, good morning, David.
Good morning.
You nervous? Nah, he's not nervous. He's not. Awesome. So really, why we want to do this, especially this part, the interview, we're going to have time to pray over David and kind of have some words from our district as well and from Arthur. But really, I think this is important because this is a really new role for our church. So David, he's not becoming a pastor. He's not an English pastor here. But this is a really specific, unique role that David is what we called a spiritual director, and that's probably new for a lot of us here. So we're going to kind of dive in. This is a very niche, specific role that David is doing. So we're going to dive in. What does that mean? What does it mean for each of us here? So first question for you, David, as we begin to grill you here on stage.
Sure.
What is a spiritual director?
Okay. That's a great question. Yes. It took me a few years to find out. So actually, there can be some confusion around the term spiritual direction. The word direction or director can sound authoritarian, as if someone is telling you what to do or controlling your spiritual life. That's not what that spirit ministry is about. Spiritual direction is about helping someone discover clarity and insight from God. The direction refers to gaining a sense of where God is leading you. For being directed, not being directed by a person, but by the Holy Spirit. As a spiritual director, I'm not in charge. I'm a spiritual companion. I listen, ask questions, and help create space for you to hear God's voice. Ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit who does the directing, and my role is to help facilitate the process by walking alongside you. Now, actually, this practice dates back to the New Testament times. Apostle Paul and Peter wrote letters to encourage and guide early Christians, so they sought the life transformation through the Holy Spirit. And later, in the 4th century, people looked to the Desert Fathers for wisdom and spiritual insight. In more recent history, particularly in the last 50 years, evangelical churches have renewed their interest in spiritual formation. And many of you understand that, the discipline that draws closer to God. At the same time, we discover the value of spiritual companion, trusted people who walk with us as we grow spiritually. Around the world, there are more believers who are being trained in this mystery because people are spiritually hungry. What they want is to slow down, reflect, and allow their souls to grow deeper in the relationship with God. So that's a spiritual director.
Awesome. Thank you, David. So really, you're a spiritual companion. You facilitate the leading of the Holy Spirit with people. So practically for us, as a congregation, as individuals, who can come to see you, who can set up this spiritual directing, and how do they set that up? How do they initiate that with you?
Okay. So anyone is welcome. And if you're interested, you can reach out to me directly or to book so that we can book an appointment. Or you can contact Pastor Tim, Pastor Arthur, and they were happy to connect us. Yeah.
That's great. So all of you, this is a resource.
Mm-hmm.
This is great. So practically, let's say, David, I come to you, I say, you know what, I want to do this spiritual directing thing. I want to set up sessions with you. Mm-hmm. What's a session of spiritual direction going to look like?
Okay. So what I want to do is to give you an idea what it sounds like. We arrange to meet for about an hour once a month, typically over a period of 6 months, and after that we will decide whether to continue together or not. We meet in a quiet, prayerful space and allow us to slow down and be present with God. We begin by catching up, telling, you know, about what is going on in your life. Then we take a few moments of silent to center ourselves and to invite the Holy Spirit into the conversation. From then, I might ask something like, what's stirring in your heart lately? What are you longing for? You begin to share, and I simply listen. I may ask clarifying questions or gently invite you to reflect what you're experiencing, how you feel about the experience. When you share something that sounds like to me, it pops out, I will ask, hey, could we stay there for a moment? We pause, and I ask, how is that experience to you? What might God be inviting you to? I'm there to watch, listen, and feel. We listen to the Holy Spirit to find out in your experience, is this life draining or is it life giving? We pause. Through the guidance of the Spirit, we gently peel back layers of experience. We want to go deeper into our soul, because that's where transformation comes. There is no judgment. Everything shared is confidential. Spiritual direction isn't about fixing or advising, but about creating space to hear God speaks. It's about developing a greater trust in an almighty God, our Creator, who deeply cares about our souls. Now, sometimes I may suggest a scripture passage to meditate on, or I invite you to explore further with God in prayer. We end up with summarizing how we encounter with God during that session. Then we pray for God's continued guidance as we grow in love for Him and for others. That's how a session goes.
That's great. I really love to hear it's not you giving advice, it's not counseling, but it's really you just walking alongside of us in this journey of faith. So in that, as you journey with us, what's the end goal of spiritual direction? If I come to you, what's the end goal here?
That's a great question here. The goal is to ensure that we're not walking our spiritual journey alone. As we learn to pay attention to the movements of our hearts and our spirit, we might not always feel God's presence, but we can learn to trust that He is always there. Spiritual direction helps us become more aware of God's presence and guidance in our life. So ultimately, it's about discerning His will. But more than that, it's about drawing closer to His heart. God desires to reveal Himself to anyone who seeks Him with sincerity and openness. So that's the goal.
That's great. Well, thank you so much, David. Hopefully that gives us a bit of clarity on David's role, what it looks like for us to join and invite him into our journeys as well. So
thank you.
I'll let you go sit for a little bit. Thank you so much. Well, we are excited this morning as well to have a guest from our Alliance District here with us this morning. So I'll invite up Scott Dixon, Pastor Scott Dixon. He's been a pastor for a long time. He mentioned his previous job was lead pastor at one of our Alliance churches down in Lethbridge for 27 years, I believe you said. So he has much experience, and since September he's been working for our district, and he's kind of settled in the Edmonton area for now. So really excited to have Pastor Scott Dixon here. He's going to share a little bit from our district here this morning. So,
I want to bring greetings to you from the other 111 Alliance churches in Alberta and the Northwest Territories that are worshiping Jesus together with you today. And I bring greetings to you from our district superintendent, Dr. Matt Boda. It's just an honor to be with you here for a couple of minutes this morning. And I want to welcome David into this ministry and commend him for this work of spiritual direction. Actually, for the last 3 years, I've had a spiritual director for myself that I meet with. And it's not they're not a counselor, but they ask me questions, as David was saying, to help me listen to Jesus and to journey with Jesus, to invite the Spirit to speak into my life in a way that's transformational, in a way that helps me mature in my relationship with Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, that we are being transformed into Jesus' likeness, that the Spirit of God is working in our life to do this. And so I commend your ministry, David, and I commend your people of this church to it. It will help you go deeper in your relationship with Jesus as you listen to him together. As you do this, I want to just challenge you around our vision here in Canada for all of our Alliance churches. And what I love about this vision is that it rests in a vision prayer. And so it's expressed through a prayer. And three of the key elements of that prayer is that we would be Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and mission-focused. And so, David, as you do spiritual direction, I challenge you to keep Christ central. It says in Luke chapter 9 that daily we should deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ. And so I invite you, as you give spiritual direction and journey with people, to keep Christ central. I also commend you and invite you to serve in the power of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, once you were darkness, in other words, before you came to Christ, now you're a child of the light, you've given your life to Jesus. Then it says, live as a child of the light should. And then in verse 17 and 18 of that passage, it says, understand the Lord's will. In other words, this is for every follower. Keep on being filled with the Spirit of God. And this is the normal Christian life, to be Spirit-empowered. Jesus doesn't expect us to live our life in our own strength in a way that honors him. He longs to fill us regularly and daily with his Spirit. I commend this to you too, David. And finally, to be mission-focused, and of course, there's many passages that talk about this in Bible. In Matthew chapter 28, we're called, and you're part of this process, to go out and make disciples of all nations, to help people mature in their faith and walk closely in a growing way with Jesus. And so, David, I commend you for this ministry. We welcome you as part of the team. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm going to invite David to come up. Okay, not that short. David, I just have one question for you this morning. What were you thinking? What were you thinking? You are well into your retirement years. You could be playing golf every single day. Maybe you are, I don't know, but you could be playing golf all day. And like all the other old people in this church, you could be playing pickleball. And I'll be playing right with you. You could be traveling the world with Garland. Yes. Okay, is this some joke that somebody said? Okay. But instead, you want to spend time praying with people, walking with people, helping them learn to listen to God's voice? What were you thinking? Don't you have better things to do in retirement? Haven't you done enough already? I looked at your resume. I mean, when you were talking to me about this position, I looked at your resume, Boy, you have an impressive resume. There are multiple degrees behind your name. There are titles in front of your name. And think of all the things that you've done in this church over the last, 45 years of your life being here. You've been an elder, you've been a preacher, you've been a teacher, you've been chairman of the board. You're the one that chair the committee that built this building. Deacon, a mission committee, outreach coordinator, did mission work in Asia and Caribbean. Almost every week you stand there to greet people when they come in. Why would you still want to do more? I believe there's only one reason, and that's God's calling on your life. And there's no other reason. You could be doing a million other things to enjoy retirement, but instead you've chosen to do this only because God has laid his call on you, and you can't run away from it, can you? I still remember the day that you and I sat at Tim Hortons, and you told me about what the Lord has laid on your heart, that you felt God was calling you to serve at ECAC in this capacity. And you just wanted me to walk along with you and discern with you what God is, to be sure that God is calling. David, as I get to know you more, I come to know you as a man who's been in this church for many decades. You have seen the good and the bad and the ugly in the life of this church. You're a man with many scars on your back because you could have just said nothing or done nothing, but instead you stuck your neck out and you served the Lord. You should be a bitter old man right now. But you're not. As I come to know you, you've become more self-reflective, more gracious, more kind and understanding, especially for those people that might not be mature. You're not a bitter old man, but a gracious person who continues to seek the Lord's heart and help others do the same. You know, if you look at your resume and ministry experience, you have so much to be proud of and to boast. But instead, you choose a path that the Apostle Paul described in Philippians chapter 3. That he had so many reasons to be confident in the flesh. And he says, if anyone else thinks that he has grounds for confidence in the flesh, he says, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, regarding the law of Pharisee, regarding zeal persecuting the church, regarding the righteousness that is the law, blameless. But then he goes on to say, I could boast all that, but instead, everything that was a gain to me, now I consider a loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung, as rubbish, garbage, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. And Paul says, my goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. The songs we picked today, worship team, it was perfect. It was all about what we have to offer Jesus, nothing, but all that you are. Sinner that have been redeemed to be a saint. And now you continue this path, wanting to know God more. I commend you for that. So David, I want to tell you that on behalf of the entire staff at ECAC, it is our honor to have you on our team as a spiritual director at our church for the English congregation. So here I'm going to lay this charge on you. David Yip, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and his church, who will judge the living and the dead. And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Commit to the work that our Lord Jesus has called you to do, to be the spiritual director of the English ministry at Edmonton Chinese Alliance Church. Faithfully serve the Lord in season and out of season. Face all situations with faith, endure hardship, and do the work of a spiritual director. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. David, before the congregation, do you accept these charges?
Yes, I will.
I'm now going to invite Garland to come up on stage to join David. And I'm now going to also invite the elders and the pastors present here right now to come and join us to, as we lay hands and pray for David and Garland. So please come forward. Invite them to lay hands on you, pray for you, and then I will close in prayer. Congregation, will you rise as we pray together? Lord, today we commend David as he begins this part of his journey with you. And Lord, I pray that in his ministry here at ECAC, that he would learn to listen to you and you alone. Spirit of the living God, we know that David is a man after your own heart. He desires to know you. He put aside some of his own time in order to do this, not for any other gain than to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. And so, Lord, as a church, we join him in this journey. We pray for those who has the same longing and desire to hear your voice. Spirit, will you nudge them so that they will be in contact with David and begin a journey together to listen to the voice of Jesus. And we pray also for Garland as she supports her husband in this ministry. And we pray of an anointing over her, and that the Spirit will empower her also to be a supporting helper in his journey. And Lord, our ultimate desire is that your church, the bride of Christ, looks more and more beautiful each day as we wait for your return. We long for that day when we see the groom coming for the bride, and that we would then stand aside and introduce the church to her groom. And that is our longing, to look great for her Lord on the day of his arrival. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people say, amen. Please be seated. Your response time. Do you want to? Use a mic.
Thank you, Church. Thank you, Pastor Arthur. Thank you, Pastor Scott. And it's a tremendous privilege for me to be here. And I really want to thank you all, brothers and sisters and friends. What a joy it is to stand here with you today. This church is my home. I came to know Christ over 45 years ago in this church. This is where I was baptized, married my lovely wife, Garland, and where our sons were baptized as well. These moments are more than personal memories. They're chapters in a story that God has written through this loving community, and that's all of you. Through the years, I had the privilege of serving in different ways, as mentioned, but there's always in the back of my mind was the quiet hope that God will one day call me to serve in a deeper, more dedicated way right here among you. Sometime I was struck anew by Jesus' word in Matthew 9, 35, 38, where he looked on the crowds with compassion and said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." In these verses, I heard not only just a description of Jesus' ministry, but an invitation. I sense him calling me to join in that work, to be present with people, to share the good news, and to walk alongside others in a spiritual journey. Now, that wasn't easy. Yes, I asked God to weigh this calling in my heart, to stir my soul until I could respond with sincerity and trust. Over time, that calling became clearer, and with prayerful support of my wife and sons, I stepped forward. I still remember it was Pastor Stan, former senior pastor, that encouraged me to prepare further, and I enrolled at Ambrose Seminary after retiring during the pandemic. As I was studying, I really enjoyed being a student there. Spiritual formation, that course, really stood out. It invited me to a deeper experience of God's love. It was personal, gentle, and transformative. I realized my identity in Christ as the beloved of God. As I'm immersed in this love for me, I can serve people out of the overflowing of that divine love in me. And then I reflect on these past years. I see how God was gently preparing me through conversations, shared prayers, and quiet moments with many of you. These weren't isolated experiences. They were glimpses of how God calls us to work together, to walk together in faith. These experiences felt meaningful and life-giving. They helped me to see more clearly who I am and who God is to me. That's what led me to go further into the discipline of spiritual direction. I learned so much from the writing of spiritual theologians, wise professors, and peers. They enlightened and expanded my heart in my mind. And I also personally experienced what it is like to be guided by a spiritual director. That process helped clarify my motive and drew me closer to God. And I came to understand more than ever how deeply God loves me and how faithful he is to walk with me. So slowly, it became clear that God is calling me to work with you as a spiritual companion. My hope is to help create space for us in stillness, reflection, and listening. To be someone who walks alongside with you as one seeks to hear the voice of our Heavenly Father together. So that's why today is my deep humility and joy that I received this commissioning to journey with you. I thank God for your love your prayers and your trust. May God glorify in all we do together, and may we continue to grow in grace, faith, and love as one body led by the Holy Spirit. Thank you.